You're listening to the AHTB Cereals and Aussies podcast. Monthly highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the AHDB Cereals and Aussies podcast. I'm Harry Henderson, and I'm the Knowledge Exchange Manager for the East Midlands. Since the last episode, winter remains reasonably dry, with a few frosts but nothing too serious. Harvest 17 is a long way off, but the first building blocks are in place for some good yields. Of course, the coming spring and summer months will make or break this idea. This month, we're looking at septoria control, tyres and compaction, the UK feed wheat on a global stage, and the AHDB's latest Horizon reports around planning for a post-Brexit world. Firstly, we've got a timely reminder about protecting the efficacy of your septoria controls this winter. Here's Jason Pohl to explain.
We have now entered the last month of winter, and the warmer, lighter days ahead will provide welcome energy for cereal crops, helping them at first slowly expand and then accelerate throughout spring. This canopy growth coincides with the use of fungicides to protect precious green area, especially in varieties more prone to disease. But increasingly, it is the fungicides that need protecting too. Certainly, maintaining robust control of septoria was the main focus of a presentation looking at shifts in fungicide performance at December's AHDB Agronomist Conference. At the event, Neil Paverley from ADAS provided a snapshot of the evolving resistance status of septoria in wheat and highlighted the continued decline in azole activity in both protectant and eradicant situations. He also revealed that low to moderate SDHI insensitivities were found in late season septoria samples taken from all 9 SDHI treated wheat fungicide trial sites sampled during 2016. With the continued shift in pathogen populations robbing efficacy from many popular fungicide products, fungicide resistance research results were analysed at the conference to draw some important conclusions for those planning sprays during 2017. The first point is that although SDHI insensitive strains are unlikely to be at sufficiently high levels in 2017 to affect field control, action is required to ensure it stays that way. Multi-site acting fungicides, because of their low resistance risk, are a particularly important option and should be used as mixture partners to enhance effectiveness and protect azoles and SDHIs against resistance. It is also recommended that azole applications, other than when mixed with SDHIs, should be minimised as much as possible. For SDHIs, the advice is that only the minimum dose of SDHI required to obtain effective control should be used, and they should be used in mixture with a robust dose of azole and a multi-site fungicide. One of the most important conclusions was that the use of 2 SDHI applications should always be the exception, never the rule. SDHI should only ever be applied where needed, if the flexibility that they afford in spray programs is to be maintained. It is important to be aware of the evolution in resistance to fungicides, and people are encouraged to keep an eye on the Fungicide Resistant Action Group's guidance, which can be found on the AHDB website at cereals.ahdb.org.uk/frag.
For our next item, we're going back in time with the Hereford Monitor Farm Group. 3 years ago, they had a session with soils guru Philip Wright, looking at the impact of different tyre pressures on the farm's soil. At this time of year, the days are getting brighter, they're getting longer, and a drying wind makes a big difference. As with every spring, the temptation is to get on the land as soon as the soil doesn't pick up. But it is advantageous to hold off, get some drier soils at depth, get some better soil temperatures too. It is also time to consider your tyre choice, axle weights, ballasting, and dusting off those dual wheels, which are probably more beneficial in the springtime than they are in the autumn. Here's Philip to explain some more.
And the particular thing we're doing here was assessing the effect of different tyre pressures on the tractor, on the drill tractor. Because the higher pressure, deeper rut, really clearly seen on the trailer example, but it's happening underneath the power, you just can't see it. Deeper rut, we've shuffled a load of fines on top, created a nice seed bed, but this level here of compaction. If we drilled this field, seed soil contact, super, it's going to grow, it's going to strike, it's going to grow pretty quickly. If your soil tends to break and shear horizontally, as this is tending to do, as opposed to where we've not got any wheeling effect, it's just different again, crumbles. The roots here are going to get down to that. If we have a shower of rain, I'll guarantee that that'll start to hold water up in that level. And we've now got a race on. Next door, the plants can grow into this porous structure, open it up and get through it. Here, if we didn't have much rain, then roots are going to suck suck the moisture out. This is going to get tougher and tougher to the point where the root can't get through it. If you have a little and often rain, if we're lucky, we may well get the best of both worlds, and eventually roots will find their way around here and through it and down in this zone, and we'll probably get away with it, but it's still a compromise. Equally, if it comes really wet, this will lay so wet here that it'll just hold the water. Either side of that is a big difference. And this is the commercial high pressure tyre, which even just digging the hole, it's harder work to dig the hole. The soil's coming out the hole, very, very platy, compacted structure. So remembering that we've got the same axle load as the other two, a narrower tyre, so, and a very much higher ground pressure because of the inflation pressure being significantly higher. Considerably more compacted soil, less pores in it, less openness in it. So from that point of view, there's going to be less chance for roots to pass down through easily, less chance for water to drain through, less chance for, you know, optimum conditions of porosity within that soil profile. Because we've got the same axle load, I'm not anticipating there being a massive increase in the depth of total compaction, but the severity of it has gone up because we've got much higher pressure in the tyres. Yes, we've got a deeper rut, so relative to original ground surface, we've got a deeper effect, but we've also got a much more pronounced, tighter effect on the soil. There's not really a lot of openness left in the structure. There's very tight porosity. No real chance for water to get through, and obviously these roots are already there, but for new roots to grow down will be more of a challenge. The example of the commercial very high pressured tyres, the commercial super singles, it's highly likely that you'd have to do more than a standard operation to alleviate that. That's really before we've started to look at what it costs to pull that trailer across the field. See, if it's rutting and compacting the soil more, you're basically driving that trailer and those wheels uphill all the while out of the rut, and the more you drive uphill, the more it costs you in terms of power fuel consumption. So we've got a double whammy here. We've got the effect on the soil structure, and then we've got the effect on diesel use and everything else in terms of efficiency. If we can minimise pressure, we minimise the severity of that compaction.
You can find out more about all of our Monitor Farm groups on the website. In our market update this month, AHDB analyst Millie Askew explains how the UK feed wheat has gone from being some of the most competitive in the world to some of the most expensive.
At numerous points last year, UK wheat was often described as the most competitive in the world in a season when our exports of the grain hit a seven-year high. Two consecutive 16 million tonne plus harvests, with some help from a relatively weak exchange rate, put UK wheat in the position where it was competing with the likes of Russia on the international export market. Bringing it back to this season, and the picture looks very different. Domestically, we have a much tighter wheat supply and demand situation, which has subsequently affected the competitiveness of UK feed wheat. Despite entering the season with record high stock levels, a dip in output combined with growing demand, as well as further weakening of sterling, have all contributed to a reversal in the UK's competitiveness on a global scale. However, this is mostly in contrast to the global supply and demand picture for wheat, which is still pressured by the weight of ample supplies. With this in mind, some of the most expensive in the world more closely describes the trend in UK feed wheat prices at the moment. If you look at nearby global wheat futures in sterling terms, the UK is pushing above Chicago and French values. Throughout last season, UK prices clearly set the bottom of the market. However, since the start of this season, UK wheat prices have climbed up the uncompetitive scale. As it stands at the moment, UK feed wheat futures stand at the most expensive compared with the two key benchmark markets in sterling terms. More recently, the rise in UK prices is expected to have put the brakes on what started out as a relatively strong export campaign this season. Almost 1 million tonnes of wheat was exported by the end of November, which was ahead of the pace set last season. However, the second half of the season is now more likely to be associated with a quieter wheat export market and an increased need for feed grain imports. Likewise, markets will also continue to react to how currency changes as the beginning of Brexit negotiations draw ever closer.
Don't forget to visit cereals.ahdb.org.uk/markets for the latest prices and analysis from the Market Intelligent team. And finally, let's hear from Jason on what post-Brexit future may hold for plant protection products in the UK.
Brexit has created a lot of uncertainty for UK agriculture. but AHDB, through its Horizon series of reports, is helping to slice through some of this murkiness. Getting to grips with how plant protection product regulation could change in a post-Brexit environment is the subject of the latest report, and it is well worth a read for those with a stake in the future of UK plant protection. At present, active substances receive general approval at the EU level, and specific products are controlled at national level. The EU system, however, has received criticism because it uses hazard-based criteria for agreeing which substances get the green light, and it does not take into account the risk of something or someone being exposed to the substance. The level of selection is such that it has been estimated that around 58% of applications are rejected by the EU in the current system. Brexit provides the UK with a good opportunity to consider how it should regulate plant protection products in a way that balances safety and the continued need to supply affordable food. Four broad yet detailed regulatory approaches are outlined in the report, which provides a useful starting point for discussions on how the UK could achieve this. The first option sees the UK align with the EU, keeping the precautionary principle and hazard at the heart of regulatory decisions. The second option sees the UK work with the US, and the third option with OECD global standards, which both involve a more risk-based approach. The fourth option sees the UK go its own way and formulate its own policy. Whichever regulatory option is ultimately chosen, the UK will not be able to operate in isolation. The products available will continue to be driven by what is acceptable to the UK's trading partners. In the short term, not much change is forecast, as plant protection is unlikely to be the top of the list for negotiators. But the report provides an essential starting point for negotiations as the UK agriculture looks to reposition its offer on the redesigned global stage. Entitled Horizon: What Will Happen to Plant Health and Plant Protection Product Regulations After Brexit, the full report can be downloaded from ahdb.org.uk/Brexit.
Coming up in the next few months, we've got more in our series of the AHDB agronomy events, the UK CPVS stakeholder event on the 8th of March, and two Meet the Exporter events at the end of March. Go to cereals.ahdb.org.uk/events to find out more and book your place. That's all from us. I'm Harry Henderson, and you've been listening to the AHDB Cereals and All Seeds podcast. Tune in again in a month's time for the next episode. You can now subscribe on iTunes to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's published. Just go to iTunes or use your podcast app and search AHDB Cereals and All Seeds. Don't forget to tell us what you think by emailing cereals.admin@ahdb.org.uk or visit our website cereals.ahdb.org.uk for more information, and follow us on Twitter @ahdb_cereals.
Soundtrack files were created by Serilis, Rutger Muller, Edit Joe, Barrel Carb, Elton John, Digifish, and Valentin Sosnitsky via Freesound.